The theme tonight for the talk, Jordan, is on the daily exam. What does it mean to be self-aware, to look into yourself, talk to God about who am I, and who am I becoming? My theme, full reveal, is the vocation to chastity. I prepared this for a group on the North Shore. We did that on Saturday, the day I got back. You'll see, it's actually about much more than just some little ascetical rules. It's about what in the world is chastity, and I would suggest, see it this way. By reframing things correctly, we start to see the scope of our vocation to holiness. And in this particular theme, somebody on the North Shore wanted the theme spoken about because he noticed, you know, you have all these Exodus groups, That Man Is You groups, and they're encouraging each other to walk the walk, to live like a Christian should. But even in those good groups, it can get reduced instead of expanded. Sometimes it seems like I'm going to have to shrink my horizons, and that's, I guess, the Christian thing. All my friends, and nobody says it this way to me, but some people are thinking, all my friends can have more fun and can do more stuff, almost like college students, you know, like, darn, I wish I wasn't Catholic, because then I could really be a decadent hedonist like that guy. But nobody says it, because we're all mature Christians, of course, but many people think it. And then you live it with sort of a light resentment, like, yeah, I guess it's the Christian way, an eye roll, and a little bit of negativity. And what the danger is then actually not being all in 100% excited, and that leads to not really caring that much. And so even on the ascetical side, even on the, okay, I'll walk the walk, but begrudgingly and dragging your feet, and you will never experience what we were made for, which is the fullness of life, thriving, fulfillment, energy. How can you get there if you're just resentfully carrying this burden? And if, the theme tonight, chastity, but it's all the other themes. Obedience to God's will. I will do as little as possible to know what God wants of me so I won't offend him too much when I don't really do exactly what he asks of me. Why did he create me? I'm not even going to ask the big questions. I'll be obedient where it's obvious. You know, like go to church every Sunday. I'm obedient to the church. I go every Sunday. Back off, God. Do not get into the nitty-gritty of my Monday to Saturday life. And again, in all these men's groups, there is a culture of awareness that I love in Louisiana. Okay, Father Michael, you obviously don't know us. We have a much higher level than that. Great. Go even higher. So the background theme tonight is, yes, let's examine ourselves, but depending on the exam you're taking, you may get different results. So let's go all in and use the examine that God gave us, his measurements, his rule of life, and it sometimes seems it's so big that I can drown in it, but actually the right thing is it's so big I can finally flourish. And I'll stop living this minimalistic thing and start squeezing the Christian way for all it's worth. There are other reasons I chose this theme, but the one was really on the North Shore. They said, yeah, let's go at it. Chastity. So I produced a handout, thank God William printed it out. It's, and you have it. I would suggest you don't read it while I'm talking because it is an awesome handout. But as Jesus says, this handout you have with you always, you will not always have me. So I will disappear soon, as Jesus also said. And I will come back eventually, but not for the next few weeks. So you have me tonight, so forget the handout. I produced it. It's an awesome handout, a very beautiful one. But let's leave that on the table. I will explain what I did. First page is the catechism. The catechism is a treasure house. As you all know, because all of you in your men's groups have had contact with it, a juicy quote, an inspiring thought, it is so full of those. The footnotes are all quotes from saints, brilliant quotes from saints. So this is the section under the sixth commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. Right after it explains, okay, what does that mean, comes this part, the vocation to chastity. Jordan will say what he's going to say, but the idea of, let's examine ourselves, do I live it? First word, vocation. It's a call. You know how priests have vocations and nuns have vocations? Well, everybody has a vocation through their baptism. So it's a call. God looked at me and said, hey, I not expect more of you. I want this for you. I want you to thrive, to live to the fullest. And chastity is one of those key ways that we can live life as it was made to be lived. In the plan of God. And not just the plan of God, the default plan.
Okay.
I think I broke it. Let's see. Yeah, it's still working. Great. So not the plan of God, just, you know, Adam and Eve plan. It's the same plan, but the one in our time. How do we live it? Well, chastity is one of the three or four privileged ways to quickly get in touch and to do later the exam. So am I living it or not? Not the minimalistic thing, like, yeah, I didn't do too badly this week. I didn't look at too many women lustfully. I mean, that's actually great, but that's not the point of it at all. It's a vocation. Chastity means a successful integration of sexuality within the person, and thus the inner unity of man in his bodily and spiritual being. So by, you know, you go for the key point in Kung Fu Panda, I think. There's this, I don't even remember what it's called, but this pinky squeeze, and the Kung Fu Panda does it at a very critical moment, and suddenly the enemy, the tiger, just goes down in pain. He says, no, I didn't know you know that move. And all he's hanging on his pinky, and he goes like this, and blah, the tiger is down. That, gentlemen, is chastity. If you can get the core area right, suddenly your body and your soul realign, and when you do your conscious exam, you're examining the right thing. You're not looking at peripheral issues or to pretending you're holy when actually you're being so not holy. It's tragic. Like, it just clears the mind. Basically, it gives you vision. So that's why I gave you the catechism. Review it. Sometimes looking at the negative is the way of the positive. So the offense is against chastity right at the end there. So summarized, lust and all the other things flow from it. Is a disordered desire for or inordinate, like disproportional enjoyment of sexual pleasure? Notice, so all it says is God made the pleasure, but don't exaggerate its importance. So some people, and this is why I would say we got to frame it well, the word discern, they say, why is the church always talking about chastity? It's not. Read the whole catechism. Greed, the disordinate desire for money. The word disordinate means not in proportion with what it's worth. But it's worth something. It's not everything, because you have a thing called love, and you know there's a guy called God, and you know there's a thing called love your neighbor, and that is the big playing field of the game of life. And to shrink it down to just how little pleasure am I allowed to have? That's like, you know, you're called to play the game of football, and you are actually on the first string, and you're sitting there on the bench trying to figure out how heavy can the football be before we get a penalty for our team. That's your joy in the game. You know, remember Brady, that famous thing, they put 5 milliounces of too much air into a football. I don't even know what that does. You do. You could all tell me how scandalous that was. It weighed a little bit more than normal football. And I'm like, that is an American sport. Like, I've talked about this. In Canada, we have hockey. You have a penalty box, you're put in the box of shame, and all the fans are yelling at you. And you deserve it. So for 2 minutes or 5 minutes, you are being treated like you ruined our team's chances. And you're on display. And then you get out, and nobody complains. You have basketball where people flop around like little soccer players all the time. In hockey, you fall, you get smashed into the boards, and you would be embarrassed to flop down on the ice and say, oh, because you know why? Nobody will care. They all ignore you because it's about get the stupid puck in the net. What are you flopping around for? You're not going to help us get the puck in the net. We're sort of embarrassed about you, and we would give you a penalty. We want to put you, flopper, in the box of shame. One classic basketball guy, Harden, they say he's a great player. He flops. Like, he goes flop, flop, flop like a little fish. He gets a penalty. He shoots it. He gets some points. That is not a great game. But anyways, so. I'm just saying, let's play the game. Let's not concentrate. Was that basketball a little too heavy, a little too light? That's the referee's job. When we do an exam of conscience, we're not doing referee work like measuring the weight of the basketball or the puck. We're trying to play like men who don't just flop around on the ice waiting for a penalty to be called so my life will be a little easier. Okay. So lust is disorder, desire. It's not in order. It's too much. You're giving too much weight to the... You're talking about the weight of the football, but you lost the game because your team is pathetic. No, it's because the football... Yeah, that may have made 3 points difference, but you lost 72-0. So do not blame the weight of the football for your loss today. I think that's what I'm trying to say. It's disordered. You're giving way too much weight to the weight of the football. That's not why you lost the game, so stop that. Sexual pleasure is morally disordered when? Sometimes, not always, just in a few occasions, when it's cut off from its procreative and unitive purposes. Sexuality, unity between two persons, and procreation, openness for life, it's one package. Don't cut them up and you're doing fine. Every disorder in this area comes from people trying to cut corners, to cheat, to take the pleasure without all the other things that go with it. I've rarely heard a talk on eating disorders for men because mostly it's a woman's thing. But if you divide up the pleasure of eating from the nourishment you get from eating, that is also in the catechism. That is called disordered. It's weird. And it, for most people, since it's not like my obsession, it's sort of obvious, like, that's gross. They had the Roman Empire in its decadent phase. You would have this, not a spittoon, you'd have this bucket near the table, and people who were elegant and high class, because they loved the taste of all these courses, a 12-course meal, would throw up the last course so they can enjoy the taste of the next course without exploding. That is gross. That is what the word disordered means. And I use the example of food because it's so obvious there. Yeah, that's weird. Like, you want to just get the pleasure of tasting, but you don't want the nourishment. That is a thing called disordered. That's all. So, but that's the minimalistic side. Don't go in the disorder. That's all. Why don't you live the fullness of it? It's supposed to integrate your body and soul, so there's not that internal tension. I want to do this, but my body says to do this, and my wife says to do this, and my kids say to do this, and I'm just like torn apart. You live chastity, and suddenly things click, and you sense the priorities that are priorities, and you ignore the secondary things almost naturally. It gives a natural ease of action in living the Christian life, which is the only life worth living. It is not about how little can I do or how much can I do before I fall off the wagon. That would be like asking, nobody does this, but how much can I vomit up before it's too gross for my friends? Well, if you have half-decent friends, don't vomit up anything. Just eat appropriate amounts of healthy food and we will all be happy people. I've never heard a homily on proper eating habits because it doesn't seem to be as deep a wound as the proper sexual habits. But it's exactly the same thing. Just as much easier to understand. Yeah, that's weird. Right. When God looks at us, he thinks people who eat that way have some disorder. And he thinks people who indulge in sexual pleasure that way have a disorder. And unfortunately, they're never going to be able to play the game of life well. They're obsessing with the football and forgetting all the rules of the game, the joy of giving a good tackle, you know, getting out there on the field, getting muddy, that stuff, the fun of the game. And they're obsessing with the weight of the football. And how close can we get to cheating before it's really cheating? Very sad life. So read this vocation to chastity with that light. I'm leaving it with you because, again, I will disappear, but this is just the way it is. There's a great way to live, and it's so beautiful. So dive in. It's a vocation to be integrated. So the damage done by sin of like, oh, I feel this tension, I'm not really sure what God wants of me, clears like the storm today. and the sky clears and you see suddenly, I know exactly what God wants of me. And not just in the area of morality, suddenly I see clearly what God is calling me to do in my business, with my family, and there is a thing called peace. Again, look at the definition of chastity. Basically it's saying you will have integration of your senses with your reason, with your soul, with your holiness, and life will feel simple. That, gentlemen, is chastity. And it's like the pinky squeeze, whatever they call it. You tackle it in the area of sexual pleasure, because if you start with eating pleasure, like honestly, that's done. I'm not gonna ask you to put up your hands, but who in this room goes home every day and says, "Ah, oh, I'm so tempted to just eat my food and then throw up"? Like who? The goal of food is to give pleasure in nourishing me. They're stuck together. I just want the pleasure, but I hate the nourishment. That's a severe problem. It's exactly the same with this one. So in your daily conscience exam, it probably won't come up too much, did I eat like a human being should? Because you'll say, check, I got that. But sexual pleasure, because it's a much more intimate thing, much deeper, once you get it in order like you eat, suddenly a lot of other areas in your life will be automatically peaceful and clear and simple. And who does not want a simple life? Now, this is the magic handout that I created. This thing is valuable. So it's the second page. I will just basically go through it now because I'm hoping it's not homework. You can throw this out when you get home or even before. There's a garbage can over there. But this will basically save your life. So do what you want with it. It is that awesome. I actually spent time preparing this. So I used the title Ubi Amor Ibi Oculus, Latin. It's an old text from the Middle Ages, Richard of St. Victor. It's a beautiful insight. Where there is love, you have an eye. In Latin, it also means you have eyesight. Basically, you're not blind. Loveless life, blind life. Back to chastity. A life where you are not living this beautiful aspect of your life out of love is a blind area. It's a blind spot, and it's a big one, and it's a tragic one. You will mistake the meaning of your life for something it's not. You may go through your whole life not seeing the things that are right in front of you. And I'm really hoping this leads into the examine theme, because what's an examine? Every night you just look. But if you're a blind gentleman, your examine is almost useless. You know, you're a blind guy, and then you sit in your room and say, I'm going to look at the film of the day, and you turn on the film. And you see about as much as you did living through the day, which is basically nothing. It is very, 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 very helpful to have an eye to see. And love is the eye. This is sort of a mystic who wrote that. He was talking about, if you don't love God, you're missing so much in the experiences you have, in the structure of the world. You will miss the priorities. You'll miss the clear signs of what God wants of you today or in your life. You know, forget about discerning your vocation. You can't even discern what to do with the gifts that God gave you. It's an eye. I love this phrase. It's eyesight. This is when God says, love God and love your neighbor. He's saying, not open your eyes. This is the eye, and now open it, yes. If you live life for something that is not a project of love, serving God and serving your neighbor with all your heart, with all your soul and all your strength, you are living blind. And God forbid you think you can drive a vehicle in that state. All you'll do is go off the rails faster. So, chastity is that little pinky thing. It gets to the heart of this. Where there is love, there is sight. You want to love correctly? Yes or no? Which is the same question as, do you want to live life seeing the thing in color? Or do you want to shut your eyes and tape them shut and go through life thinking, yeah, this might be a better way to do it? It is really that radical and dramatic. And every day we're called to choose. Every day we can close the eyes, even if we make progress in virtue, and we can say, yeah, that's enough of that because my conscience is getting very delicate and now I'm realizing I have to change some habits. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to shut my eyes. Much better. That's much better. Less painful. I won't see my flaws. Yeah, less painful and degrees more dangerous. Like very, very, very wrongly dangerous. Bad strategy. I'm saying that because I'm a Catholic priest. No, I'm saying that because I'm a sane human being and I am a Catholic priest and care when I see people who think that's a great strategy. I'm going to shut my eyes and go through life playing pretend. So where your treasure is, there your heart also is. That's the first quote. Yeah. Where your love is, that's what you can see. You love the things of this earth. That is the limited horizon that you have. So don't even do a conscience exam at night. Why do one? You know what parameters you've set. Earthly success, the impression I'm making on others, and as much pleasure as I can get. What kind of examine would a person who has that kind of conscience do? Did I get enough pleasure today? That's actually the examine that a worldling should do, because I know many men who actually do that. They're not believers, and they say, did I squeeze today for all the money or success or pleasure that I could get out of it for me? That is a worldly conscience exam. They've set their target clearly. They see what they want. They want pleasure, success, and fame and fortune for me. Do you care about others? Why? Exactly. Do that conscience exam every night because that's the goals you've set for yourself. You examine yourself in light of the goals you've set. You want to do a Christian conscience exam? Any one of the billions that are out there, printed form, simple ones, children's ones, men's ones, couples ones. There's a lot of them, a lot of flavors, but they're all basically different from the other one because they set the goals as what God made me for. Did I not live up to his standard? That always sounds like he's trying to make me something I'm not. Did I live my vocation today? So where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If you see well, you can seek well. And if you notice all the titles, which I totally made up, but that's basically the idea. If I see it, then I can seek it. If I don't see it, how will I even know I should look in that direction? I give you a quote from Colossians 3. We read it during the Easter season. If you have been raised with Christ, question, have I? He means, if you've been baptized, question, have I been baptized into the new life of God? Yes, very good. Then seek the things that are above. And for Paul, it's like this. Can you see, look, let's do the eye test. We're at the spiritual eye doctor. Can you see those letters down there? I say, I can see those letters. Read them. Da-da-da-da-da. Well, then use what you can do and read life. Can you see those letters? I can see the big E at the top, and that's about it. Okay, you have pretty bad eyesight, so we got to get you some corrective lenses or something, or sit closer to the screen so you can read the letters of life, because if you can't read that chart, you're not going to pick up any of the signals that are slamming into you every day, messages of love from God, calls to service. You won't even see them, so it's, you know, God can judge how guilty you are, but if you can't even see them, you can't seek them. So Paul says, if you've been raised with Christ, which you have, seek the things of God that are above. Live for heaven, where everything will be clear. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are of earth. Do a conscience exam worthy of somebody who's looking upwards and not getting all caught up in the weight of the football, who knows the game and is excited by the plays. And the fact that we lost by 3, it might have been the football. The fact we lost by 72 is not the football. Stop blaming the wrong things. Don't blame your wife for your own selfishness and weakness. Don't blame your kids for your anger. They did something that made you angry, but you are the angry one. What can I do to not react like that? Not, well, I'm going to sell my children. That's obvious. Yeah, you get rid of them and they will never make you angry again. Brilliant, brilliant solution. A Christian conscience exam, why did I flip out again for something so small? Because it was not small for me. What am I not seeing? Why am I looking at the earthly criteria that make me so angry about something that's a nothing burger? So I raise my eyes to heaven, my conscience exam, and then I see, oh, yeah, it's not that important. And then I do better next time. So he gets into this list. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, you will be revealed. So look to the depths. Now, the problem, if you don't see well, you will not seek well. I always feel like I'm a Canadian, very simple. If you see, you can seek it. If you don't see it, you won't be able to seek it. Now, this is a paragraph for those of you who like to read. It has big words. So all three of you will enjoy this paragraph. The rest of you, you don't even have to read it. It's very complicated, big ideas here. I'll explain, though, why I put it in. There was a psychologist around the year 2004, I think, who said, many Americans tend to subscribe to a faith called moralistic, therapeutic deism. Why did I put this in? Because part of the problem, honestly, for us men in 2026 is we swim in our culture. And our culture is the Christians, the moral people, are moralistic, therapeutic deists. What does this mean? Moralistic. If I'm a good boy, God will be nice to me. If I'm a good boy, I will not suffer. So I'm not doing good things because it's the way to live a fulfilled life. I'm doing it, I'm constantly making deals. I'm gamifying. God, I'm going to pray 5 extra minutes if you stop this suffering in my family. I'll pray 6 extra minutes if you give me the lack of suffering plus $50 more on my paycheck this month. I will do a deal. God is not my loving father. God is the banker. And I have to figure out how can I get good rates on the loan. Moralistic. Morals is a game to win God's favor so he doesn't smash me on the negative side. Moralistic is do the right thing so Joel Osteen, he gives me $1,000. I've reduced my father to an ATM. That's moralism. And so this sociologist, through questions, he said he'd heard a lot of homilies preached in churches and said, yeah, this is not Christianity. This is moralistic. You're a good boy, you get rewarded. You're a bad boy, slap on the hand. If you're a really bad boy, burn forever. There's no love involved. There's no relational with the God who made you. It's just like, let's do deals. It's a pathetic reduction of the richness of our life. Chastity lived that way is... how can I not watch porn? Should I take a cold plunge for 5 minutes or 2 hours? What do I need to not go crazy and overboard in this area? That's moralism. Because why? Because I want to be a good boy so God will bless me. I was a bad boy before and I had a hard life. So I'm supposing if I'm a good boy, suffering will disappear magically, my marriage problems will be just poof gone because that's what the Bible says. Nowhere. Nowhere. That's not Christianity. That's moralism. Therapeutic. If I'm a good boy, I will feel good. All tension will be released. All tension will disappear. I'll try and pray and stuff because I heard if you pray, you have no more temptations in sexuality. Somebody told me that. I don't know who that was, but they lied to you. The only people without tensions of any kind are corpses. So what you're saying is you want to be dead, which is a very bad project for life. That's where the therapeutic leads to. I have to feel balanced and calm and have no tension. Well, you are praying for death. Balanced in the sense of I want to be vibrant and have all the energy shooting upwards. That's chastity. Reorganizing so it doesn't smash into each other and rip my heart apart. It's all going towards heaven. The energy that God gave me is being put at his service, and I'm not holding back anything. So the project of chastity, like I have to hold back, is not the Christian project. That's the therapeutic project. The Christian project, I want to love you with all my heart, all my soul, and all my strength, not pour out into the sewer my strength and my heart and my will. And if I have a few crumbs left, then I can survive and give whatever's left to you, God. We are not there. Therapy is good for certain things. The symbol for me that we are not a therapeutic religion is Jesus did not go into heaven with all his wounds healed. Jesus, he had at least 5 that we know of. Most of his wounds were gone, like he had been crucified. If you see the Shroud of Turin, lots of wounds. After the resurrection, 5. Why not 0? Because he didn't want to send the wrong message to our generation. Yeah, the goal is to get rid of all your wounds. Very bad life goal. Get rid of all my wounds, because it's a thing called selfish. Yeah, but again, if you're playing football, you have to be totally healthy and fit to play the game. I have not seen that in American sports, even in American sports where people flop around and measure footballs. It seems, I heard a story, a guy who played with a broken leg some final because he did not want to not be on the field. That's what we're talking about, gentlemen. Is that therapeutic? No, he probably had to do a lot of therapy after. He probably had the injury a month or 2 or 5 longer than he would have, but he was on the winning team in the big game. And that was worth it. That, gentlemen, is Christianity. It's not, oh, I have a boo-boo. You tell the coach, no, I can't play. I know it's the final, but do you see this paper cut here? Could you kiss it? That's not Christianity. That's pathetic. Anyway, maybe you find it good. I don't want to be too harsh, because maybe you say, what's wrong with that, Father Michael? Talk to somebody beside you. Don't talk to me, because I cannot even explain. If you think a paper cut is a good reason to miss the final game, the Super Bowl of Super Bowls, I have nothing to say to you. And then there's the deism. All that means is God, I'm not silly. Look at this beautiful universe. I was in Colorado, you're in Louisiana. Beautiful trees, beautiful weather. There must be a God. Only a crazy man would not believe in God. But deism. He's there, I'm here, he messes with my life, never. I don't really expect much from him today. I have to do everything myself. This sociologist found that most Christians in America, that's basically what they have. They don't have the personal relationship with the Lord. Part of this chastity talk, if we have that background, no personal relationship with the God who loves us, then chastity becomes a moral game, or a therapeutic desire to have inner peace and not be a nasty man. And it gets, all the life gets sucked out of the project, and we may live chaste in that I don't watch porn. Congratulations. I don't masturbate. That is a good thing, but that's not even the point of it. That's such a dry, empty project that's moralistic, therapeutic, and deistic. I don't even expect God to be involved in this project. That's not the Christian God who you're a temple of him. He's burning inside your heart. He is doing it with you. Chastity, to see how relationships are intended to be and to seek them. And I will just read this. I'm very proud of this paragraph because I wrote it. The other ones I quoted, but this one, you know. The normal framing is the one our society gives us in all areas. This is why the conscience exam is important. Did I use the framework of the world, or am I living according to the framework that Jesus gave me? What is the framework of our world? And this is due to my many conversations with men. These are real quotes from real life situations. The sex drive is the ultimate determining factor for a fulfilled life. Basically, that's Freud and pseudo-Freud, much more dangerous. The pop psychology of the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, and zeros and the tens and the 20s. So the last 60 years of our society, it has been taught that you got to get your sexual drive in order and everything will go great. That's like saying you just got to know how to enjoy eating in the proper way and magically your whole life just conforms. What is that? That's Freud and pseudo-Freud, like the watered-down, cheapo version you get in soap operas and movies and pop songs. And it is not true. Not true. What is the ultimate factor? Love God and love your neighbor. That's the deep factor of measurement. Locker room culture. Hooking up is normal. you know, the whole Me Too thing, people are less honest, but locker room culture is locker room culture. Hey, wink, wink, did you hear about that? And even though I'm a sort of good Christian, I am mildly interested. Another example, Fox News. I love the conservative news sites. This week, every day there's two, not just one, articles about hot picks from some actress or some politician. Like, is that, okay, you have a war going on somewhere in the world. Not America, because America's not at war. They're in a ceasefire. Anyway, in a country called Iran, there's something going on that's sort of important for the future of existence. And then one article underneath, you have hot pics from this person. Did she send them into the Fox News website? Honestly, I sent pictures in from my Colorado vacation, nothing. Cool priest from Canada has pictures from his Colorado vacation. Never. I don't know what's going on. Locker room culture, let's be honest, all the good Christians who are conservative, whoopsie, what could I do? It was on the same website as the Iran war, and I have to stay informed, Father Michael. Informed. Pictures of a girl who is in a bikini, and she's 50 years old and has had a lot of operations to make her look like that. You're looking at a plastic woman, and she's in a bikini. And that is, oh, but that's just news. Can we just, you do conscience exam like that? Yeah, I just looked at the website of the news today. Oh, that's all, sure. You are lying. Sexual conquests are cool. Yeah, right. Realism. Now, this is from a Navy SEAL. His commander told him, daily masturbation is normal and healthy. And that's why for years he was a good Catholic and had daily masturbation as part of his healthy routine. No joke. True. American military rock star. That does not mean they're framing their lives right. Tragically. Imagine if that commander had said, gentlemen, as we all know, real men don't need masturbation because pseudo-Freud is just not true. And I know many healthy people who have never had sex in that cool army, take the hill, masculine spirituality hotbed. A Catholic I know learned that it is normal and, in fact, a healthy thing. So what was his conscience exam for 10 years? It was not the one that I would have given him. And what did he do with the Catholic conscience exam? He relativized it. He said, well, I understand what the words are saying, but ha ha, my commander told me, and my buddies, so yeah, so what? 10 years long, this very good man did a very lousy conscience exam in this area because his commander, who's a very great guy and a war hero, had told him this very untrue thing. Yeah, that's how life goes. Pornography is not that bad. Well, it's not that good either. And most men are sensitized, at least on that issue. That's been pounded in the last few years in the men's groups. I think most men know pornography is obnoxious and toxic and destructive. And read the catechism on it. It's way harsher than I could ever be. It is like scorched earth, like this is vile. Clash between worldviews. Lila Rose, podcaster, had an interview with a girl called Chrissy Horton. 6 kids, 38 years old, something. They're talking. They say how she discovered that NFP was very good through her husband. I love that. Her husband was the one who pushed the button. Totally not the normal narrative. Yeah, the woman dragged their men into maybe reluctantly trying to live something close to what the church teaches. Maybe. This is like, no, we grew together, but he was the one who actually pushed us over the edge. Beautiful story. Now, this went viral because in this podcast, Chrissy said, Father Mike Schmidt's hot priest. The context, so that went viral in the Catholics blogosphere, and people were saying, I can't believe this crazy lady. She's such a vile lady. Whatever. They never saw the whole thing. She was talking about if a priest who's good looking like Father Mike can live celibacy, I can expect my husband to not just be an animal and to hold back for a day or a week or a month because he's a human being. And if he loves God as God deserves, what's the big deal?
Why did I put this as an example? Because there was a backlash from the Catholic community saying, oh, that's how women talk among themselves. No wonder we have so much pressure. From men who are basically saying, well, that's impossible. They're nuts. So what did Lila Rose do? I love this. That's why both episodes are good. Lila Rose, Marriage, Sex, and Children, The Messy Truth, with Tim, that husband who had been quoted, he showed up. And shocked, men who dared to watch it saw there is one man in America who walks the walk. And he wasn't like apologetic. He said, yeah, we live that. The church is teaching freed us from so much inner turmoil and bad priorities and clashes between ourselves and clashes in our hearts. You know, back to chastity, reintegrating the senses so everything is simple. This man, I would recommend, if you don't listen to both, listen to the first one to see why people got scandalized because two women talking about what men should be doing. But the second one is great, where the man comes and says, yeah, they're right. What's the big deal? I'm a man. I do it. And he looks out at the audience and says, and I guess you do it too because you're real men as well, right? And the catechism is clear. So what's the big deal? What is the big deal? That's a simple life. It's not dramatic. It's not heroic. It's just how one lives to live clearly, coherently, and happily. I love that second podcast. That'll be it. You have your sheet. You can throw it out. But one step back. We should frame everything that way, big and bold. Not get caught up in the minutia, because that'll never inspire us to make the progress that we need, or deeper, to open ourselves to the God who loves us and say, God, I cannot do this alone, but we, of course we can do this. And let's get it going. No more games, no more cheating, no more cutting corners, no more sly glances like, yeah, you know, Fox News has that picture, so of course I can look at it. It's not technically porn. I guess it's not. But is that what you do in your conscience exam at night? Did I watch porn? Is that your question? Or did I thrive and love with all my heart, all my soul, my strength, and call out the lie on my news site? And skip that article, because it's not an article. What is it? It's not, whatever it is, it's not a news article. Famous actress, 40 years old, on beach vacation. Why am I, I don't care about her beach vacation. Father Michael, 58, a young, vibrant 58, on the mountains on his Colorado vacation. Nobody would click on that article. I wouldn't click on that article. That's not an article. It's stupid. What is it doing on a website? Let's be honest. Let's look up. Let's see the goal and integrate everything. And suddenly life becomes simple. And that's the one we want, where we don't have to compensate, shove addictions down our throat because we're compensating for the compensation that's not the compensation, and pretending that everything is in order because we're juggling 50 plates, and woe to us if one of them crashes. Let's just relax and live life the way it was made to be. Amen.